Two words come to mind when I think about servanthood and honoring God. First word is attitude. What is our attitude about serving other people? What is our mindset? Philippians chapter 2 tells us the attitude that we should have about serving. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Imagine that. That whatever our attitude is about serving other people, it should be the same as Jesus. Those words come just before these. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our attitude is everything. Our mindset, our worldview, how we look at people, how we sort out problems in people's lives around us, what we believe about grace, what we believe about mercy, what we believe about redemption. We are in all those things to be like Jesus. Whatever Jesus was, however Jesus thought, however Jesus reached out to people, that's what we're called to be like. Second word is motivation. Why we serve. Who calls us to serve. Who it is we're serving when we reach out to touch people and help them. Whatever you do, Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. When we serve, when we care about other people, when we reach out to meet the needs of people around us, we are serving Jesus. It's as if Jesus is right there with us, beside us, receiving the love from our hearts and serving other people. I think of Mother Teresa as a credible example of someone who served. You've probably read many things about her life or read a book about her or watched a movie about her, her incredible influence. Her incredible example, Mother Teresa, touched millions of people through her lives, and she said some incredible things to do. And I love this quote from her. If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. Mother Teresa had a way to understand who she was. And no matter what people around her said, no matter what happened in her life, no matter the good and the bad that went on, she knew who she was. She had a heart of a servant. I think of many things that the Bible tells us about being a servant. Jesus said many things about that as well. He talked to his followers, his disciples. He taught them over and over again about how to have a heart of serving others. It was a part of who Jesus was. It wasn't just that he served people, that he wanted to communicate that to his disciples, to the church, to us, a part of his heart, a part of his teaching. It was part of his training for his disciples. And we would do well to listen closely and embrace deeply what he said about servanthood. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Think about that. Jesus did not come so that we would serve him, but that he would serve us. In Matthew chapter 20, he responded to the request of James and John's mother, and that they would be to the left and the right of Jesus in his kingdom. And Jesus said, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be the greatest among you must be your servant." And then in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Notice how many times in what Jesus says about being a servant. Well, when we look at the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, I imagine there had to be a stirring in the room. They had never experienced anything quite like this before. Jesus was really good at doing things that surprised people, and this probably was no different. I imagine when those disciples settled in around, and there was Jesus, and And Jesus got down and took off his outer garment and got the bowl and began to wash their feet. There was a certain amazement. There was a certain surprise. There was a certain shock. Why would Jesus do this? Go with me, if you would, back to that room and think about what it would be like for those 12 men and how they'd never seen this done before. If it had ever been done, it had been done by the servant at the door. It had been by the slave, the one that takes care of all the dirty jobs and dirty work. But there was Jesus on the night of the Last Supper, and they were shocked. They reacted. Picture Jesus kneeling before them. But even more important this morning, picture Jesus kneeling before you. Imagine, go with me if you could back to that room and just imagine that you're there and you're seated on a small stool or something and Jesus comes over to you and brings the bowl and puts your name in there and says, I want to wash your feet. Imagine how you would feel. If you can, if you can humor me a little bit this morning, I want you to imagine taking off your shoes and just your bare feet. No socks, no shoes before Jesus. Just your feet. And there Jesus taking your feet and putting them in the bowl and washing them. Imagine what that would feel like. Imagine physically what it would feel like. Just to imagine as that water is brushed over your foot, what you would feel, what you would think. Physically, spiritually, what would it say to you if you felt that? Today, would you feel worthy? Would you feel like, oh, not me, no, Jesus, no, let me do that for you? Is that what you would feel? How hard would it be to accept when Jesus washes your feet? Recently, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a young lady who came to see me, and she described a lot of problems and pain in her life and bad decisions, and she was in her mid-20s or so, and she just poured out a long story. And after a while, we talked about some things, and I said to her, would you like me to pray for you? I just remember she got real quiet. She just looked at me, and the tears started down. She said one word, unworthy. I said to her, yes, we're all unworthy. But there's Jesus on his knees, taking our feet and washing them, setting an example for us, because that's who God is. That's who Jesus is. Yes, unworthy. Peter, I suppose, felt that way too. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I imagine it like this. I mean, Peter, you know Peter, he's vocal. Peter he's always got something to say. He's the first one. He'd be the first one to defend Jesus, the first one to run, the first one to speak, the first one to everything. Can you imagine when Jesus called him next? And I could just see the look on Peter's face. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? It's kind of like, what are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing? Who are you? Why would you do this? Peter was working through those issues too of unworthiness, other things too. I mean, Peter knew that feet washing was lowly. Wasn't very pleasant. It kind of goes against a sense of honor, a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishment. Serving is like that. That's the heart of God. It goes against pleasantries. Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? I mean, we know about feet washing. Number one, it's not very clean. It's often messy. I mean, serving people is like that. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. It's very inconvenient. Sometimes it really messes up our schedule, messes up kind of our plan, what we're doing. And can you imagine 24 feet that Jesus had to wash that day? 24, we're not talking about two dirty, stinking, yucky, muddy, sweaty feet, but 24 of them. You know, when we serve, it takes our free time sometimes. It really cuts into our wants and our desires and our time. It can require sacrifice. It requires giving. It requires sometimes putting up with things that are really hard to put up with. It requires putting up with people that are very unworthy. Circumstances that are very messy and ugly. Feet washing is not very clean. Grant us that. Feet washing definitely is not always comfortable. Definitely not comfortable. Dirty, stinking men's feet. How comfortable was it for Jesus? How comfortable does Jesus want me to live? That's the question I wrestle with when I think about the topic and I read this story and I think about how comfortable does Jesus want me to be? Feet washing is not always comfortable. Feet washing is also not always understood. Sometimes by the people whose feet we wash. Sometimes by others who are watching us. Sometimes by people that are spending more time criticizing than washing somebody else's feet. It's a reality of washing feet. A lot of people observed what Jesus did. I remember reading about how criticized Mother Teresa was early, especially in her work. And I read a book, Mother Teresa, but it's been 30 years or so ago. I remember reading about the first, 8, 10, 12 years, whatever it is, how she just constantly was badgered by almost, not everybody, but almost everybody. The only people that didn't badger her were the people whose feet she was watching. But everybody else had a real opinion about it. She just kept going. She kept washing feet. Back to that quote. Whether you receive praise or criticism, doesn't matter. You know who you are. We know who we are in Jesus. Sometimes feet washing is misunderstood. Sometimes feet washing is unsuccessful. We're never promised, and I think you mentioned that, Shauna, a little bit ago. We don't wash feet because we're always successful. We don't wash feet because it's always appreciated. It usually is, but we don't wash feet because people smile and are somehow give us something back. That's always nice. For it is better to give than to receive. But sometimes feet washing is unsuccessful. People just go out sometimes and they step right back in the mud. You know, there are people, they get their feet washed, they go right back in the mud puddle. But then you think about it, very little is accomplished from the comfort zone. Very little is done in life that's a great accomplishment from the comfort zone. There was Peter. We noted that Jesus washed Peter's feet. Opinionated, fickle, passionate, impetuous, all those things that we say about Peter. He became the rock, though. Peter knew that. I mean, not Peter. Jesus knew what Peter's potential was. Think about that. For Jesus, was it easy for him to wash Peter's feet? I mean, he knew he had to put up with Peter and put up with his denial and put up with all the junk that Peter did and said, but yet Jesus washed Peter's feet. He became the rock. He became the strong leader of the church. He washed John's feet, the beloved disciple. Maybe that was easier for Jesus. Thomas, the doubter, well, he knew he'd come along. You wash Bartholomew and all the others. You may know where I'm going here. But I also notice, there goes my notes. I also noticed that he washed Judas' feet. You know that? He washed Judas' feet. It was after he washed Judas' feet. I didn't bother to read the text this morning, but I was reading that, thinking about it. It was after he washed the feet of Judas. He already knew who he was. He knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to be the betrayer. But he washed Judas' feet. I wonder what it's like when we have the opportunity to wash feet. There's a lot of dirty feet out there. A lot of dirty feet in our world. Are we willing to wash Judas' feet? Are we willing to wash the feet of people that may not understand, that may not get it right, they may never really respond? Are we willing to wash Judas' feet? I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. What a story. What an example. I mean, this story to me is something that I just need to kind of chew on for a while. What does he say to me? Are you willing to wash feet? Are you willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus that he called us to be? Come and lead us in a closing song, Shauna.